Good evening and welcome to our Tuesday evening Bible study. Tonight we are looking at Nehemiah chapter 6.
Nehemiah chapter 6. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hand shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up. And he said, Let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee, yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid, and do so, and sin, that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived this work was wrought of our God. Moreover, in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them, for there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arah, and his son Johanan, and had taken the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me, and uttered my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us this morning. Let's ask the Lord to bless our thoughts upon him. Lord, we thank you this morning that we can praise and magnify your name and glorify you. Pray that, Lord, as we meditate upon your word this morning, we may learn, and that we may feed upon your word, and that we may grow from your word. Lord, we just ask these things, that you should be glorified and uplifted. Amen. We are still considering enemy action, but I don't want us to dwell so much upon the enemy as upon the victory that we have. For in chapter 6 we see a conspiracy against the leader of God's people, and that is no surprise because they conspired against Jesus. They conspired against the very Son of God. And you'll know from the scripture that they conspired against him to trap him. They conspired against him to make him say things whereby they could accuse him. But in all the things whereby they sought to conspire against Jesus and to trick him, he answered them as not a man, but he answered them with divine wisdom. Yes, he was a man, mustn't confuse. But he answered them with that divine wisdom. He answered them as they said when they went to arrest him that time. Never man spake as this man. He spoke with those words of authority. And Jesus was able to put even those that conspired against him to flight and to confusion, whereby they could not even lay hold on his words. And we see manifest in this chapter the wisdom of God revealed in the man Nehemiah. For he sought not to his own wisdom, but he sought time and again, as we have seen already, to the Lord. And in this there is tremendous encouragement for us, that if, when we are enduring the attacks and the onslaught of the enemy, we turn only to the Lord and don't seek what resources we have and what devices we can devise and what ingenuity we can come up with to outwit the enemy, if we trust God and look to the Lord, then we will know victory, for we are actually on the victory side, and we are on the ground of victory. We are on redemption ground. We are on the ground that we have been brought onto through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the cleansing of our sin. If the enemy would seek to condemn us for our sin, we are on redemption ground. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has been shed for our sin. We can point to a price that has been paid, and the enemy can in no wise condemn us for our sin. Who is he that condemns, says Paul in Romans chapter 8? There is none that can condemn, because the Lord has paid the price. We look to the one that has paid the debt. It's no longer for us to answer, but we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you noticed in chapter 5, as we read chapter 5 last week, we saw there that the people of God were stopping the work, having to call an assembly to deal with a situation that had arisen, because they were oppressing each other. The people of God were taking advantage of one another. And you'll notice, if you read through chapter 5, that the enemy is not once named. Why? Because he can sit back and leave them to it. They're doing the enemy's job. But you know how they got it sorted out? They came to the word of God, or Nehemiah told them what should be done and what should not be done. And he told them according to the word of God. These things ought not to be, because the word of God says so. And when they sorted it out according to the word of God, then it says they said amen, and they praised the Lord. And God's people became a praising people again, when their lives were ordered according to the word of God. And out of the word of God came forth the praise and the worship that is due to him. And that's what comes from the word of God as we meditate upon it. As we order our lives according to his word, there will be praise and there will be worship and there will be the magnifying of his name. But you see, they've sorted that out. There's no longer the infighting. There's no longer the oppressing one of another. And so the enemy rears its head again, and we find that the enemy is named again at the beginning of chapter 6. Here they come again, because the people of God are getting on with the work of building that wall of separation and of completing it. And it's so near completion now. In fact, it says that the only thing that hadn't been done at that time was that the doors had not been put on the gates. What can we do? Think the enemy. Well, they come with deceit. And you know, this instructs us continually in the ways of the enemy of our soul, of Satan himself. And we are wise concerning his deceits and concerning his wiles. And we have instruction in the scripture to look to the Lord. We have instruction in the scripture concerning the weapons of our warfare. Let's not just turn a blind eye and say, well, we don't want to talk about Satan. We don't want to talk about the devil, because that's what the devil wants. We want to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to magnify him. But we want to be aware of the trickery and the deceits of the enemy, that we may use the weapons against him that the Lord has given, and that we may continue in victory ground. We don't want to look at the enemy. We want to look at Jesus. Look at the author and the finisher of our faith. But we want to know that there is victory. And we find here that Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, when they heard what had happened, when they heard that the work had been completed, what did they try to do? Sanballat and Geshem sent to Nehemiah, and they tried trickery and deceit. And there are three things in this chapter. We saw in chapter 4 that there were three attacks. And then in chapter 5 there was the infighting. And now there are three more attacks of the enemy. And first of all, they try to entice Nehemiah to by deceit, by falsehood. They try to lure him out of the city. And then when he won't respond to that, they try to intimidate him. They try to put a slur on his character to force him to come out. And then when that doesn't work, they try to make him think about himself and self-protection and self-preservation and to act in a religiously acceptable way, but a way which would have been a way of defeat. So there are three ways in which it happens, and let us beware that the enemy hasn't changed. He still attacks in those same ways. The first thing then was that they tried to entice Nehemiah out of the city. Come to one of the villages. Oh no. As I say, it's rather convenient in English because the reply sent back, oh no, I'm not coming out. I'm not going to be caught by that one. You see, they tried to shift Nehemiah from the ground that he was on onto some other ground, their own ground. We cannot stand on any other ground but the ground of redemption. We cannot stand on any other rock or foundation than the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the enemy would seek to entice us out into other places, into places of compromise, into his own ground. We cannot fight on the ground of the enemy. We cannot argue on the ground of the enemy. We can only stand against him on the ground that has already been won by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's rejoice this morning that there is a victory in Christ Jesus, and we are on the victory side. We are in that place of separation from the things of the enemy. Remember, the wall around the city was a wall of separation. It was a wall of protection. And step outside that ground and we're in danger. We must always be on that ground of redemption. We must always be firmly founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We must continue walking in the Spirit. And the Word of God says, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There is a victory in the Lord. And I praise God this morning that although we're looking at enemy tactics, we're looking at the victory in Jesus Christ. For it's him that we want to exalt and him that we want to magnify, the Lord Jesus Christ. On the night of Passover, when the Israelites were in Egypt, do you remember what the instructions were? They were to take the lamb, take the blood of the lamb, they were to daub the doorpost and the lintel with the blood of the lamb, and then they were to shut themselves inside. And then there was instruction as to what they were to do. They were to roast the lamb, they were to eat it, and so on. But the instruction was they were to shut themselves inside. They had to be under the blood. And if anybody should say to them, come on, come outside with us, come and share a meal with us, if they moved from that place of redemption, they were in mortal danger. They had to be in the place that God had provided. They had to be under the blood if they were to avoid that terrible plague that came upon Egypt, that last plague, the death of the firstborn. They had to be there. They dare not emerge from that place. They dare not be enticed out. And neither dare we. We know our place of security is in the Lord Jesus Christ. What did Nehemiah say? He said, they thought to do me mischief. That was their intention. Oh, it seemed quite nice. We want to talk with you. We want to discuss things with you. And the enemy will often come with that friendly approach. We want to discuss. We want to talk. But no, he sought to do mischief. Seems to be quite fair, doesn't it? But there was destruction in view. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'm afraid that many people associated or connected with the church, many church leaders these days, have gone off on that tack. There are conferences and there are dialogue situations to discuss this doctrine and that doctrine and so on. And what's happened is that men and women are coming out of the place of security in the Word of God, under the blood, to discuss the precious truth of the Scripture and to tear them apart. And say, well, we'll accept this, but we won't accept that anymore. And you see, the Word of God and the truth of God is being destroyed. They've accepted the invitation of the enemy to come and to discuss differences and discuss doctrines and to discuss opinions. And they've left the blood out of things. We don't understand the blood anymore. We don't know what that's all about. As long as we live good lives and do the best we can and try and get on with everybody else, that's okay. The enemy has entice them out. And what is he doing? He's destroying them. There is no life in those things. There is only life in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Nehemiah replied, you see, I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? That's what the enemy wants. He wants the work to stop. And Nehemiah says, I'm doing a great work and I'm going to carry on with that work. And let us have minds only to do the work of the Lord, looking unto him and not being enticed by the enemy into situations where we stop the work to get on with useless dialogue and discussion about this, that and the other, when the Lord is encouraging us to do his word and to do his work. Why should the work cease? And the thing happened four times. Don't think that the enemy won't come again a second time, or a third time, or a fourth time. He's hoping that eventually we say, well, okay then, no harm, I suppose. You see, the word of God can sometimes be corrupted by the devil himself, and we've got to beware of that. In the scripture we find that the woman who came to Jesus and she kept on asking, she got what she wanted. She received because of her importunity. But we must never give in to the devil because of his importunity, because he keeps on. We must always resist. And Nehemiah didn't alter the answer. He said, and four times I sent the same answer back. He stood firm on the word of God. He stood firm and resolute in that which he knew was the truth. And then it says there's a fifth time. But the fifth time, there's a different approach. And the fifth time, an open letter is sent by Sanballat in an attempt to get Nehemiah out. And notice carefully what is happening here. This open letter, it was open for all to read. As the messenger brought it, anybody could read it. It was open for all. It wasn't a sealed letter. It was a letter full of condemnation, of accusation against Nehemiah. It's a principle, I suppose, of warfare. Take the leader out, and the people that are following him won't know what to do. There's the major, or the captain, leading his troops, and the enemy can see who he is. He's waving his pistol about in the air. They get the machine guns on him, zap him, and what do the rest do? They follow the next one down the chain of command. But you take the leader out, you see, and all the others don't know what to do. They become disorganized, or you hope they will. If Sanballat can somehow or other discredit Nehemiah, if he can somehow get him out of the place, the rest won't know what to do. The rest will be at a loss. And it's a thing of the enemy to attack those, especially whom God has given to be leaders and guides of his people. Didn't Jesus mourn using those words from the Old Testament because the people were like sheep without a shepherd? And praise God, we have a shepherd, the good shepherd, to follow. But he has also given those to his church to lead and to guide. And one of the favourite tricks of the enemy is to bring those who are given to lead and to guide into disrepute. And if he can do it by one means or another, he will do it. Either by enticing the leader into some immorality, or by spreading rumours about that person, that the people will believe the rumours and believe the lie. How he loves to do it. But we've got a victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this letter, which was sent, an open letter for everyone to read, and it says, it's not without testimony, it's not without witness, because it says, if you read it very carefully here, in it was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu says it. There he is, he's spreading the rumour, and Gashmu saith it. Who's Gashmu? He's Geshem, the same man. He said it, he's spreading this untruth, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall that thou mayest be their king. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach about you at Jerusalem. There's only one thing you're interested in, Nehemiah, and that's your own position. No, you want people to look up to you. You want to be the big chief. Love the sound of your own voice. You like people to hear you. And all these sorts of accusations began to circulate. Now, says Sanballat, don't you think you ought to come and have a word with me and we'll discuss it and we'll make sure that this rumour doesn't get to the king back in Persia? You know, we'll sort it all out. Nehemiah wouldn't budge one inch. He just turned to the Lord, in whom is the victory. Praise the name of the Lord. But you see, that's what he was aimed to do, to cause disaffection amongst the people of God. Well, if Nehemiah doesn't come out, at least the people of God, some of them will begin to believe the rumour. And we begin to get fed up with the work and say, well, we're not following him. He's only in it for himself. Reminds you of Moses, doesn't it? If Satan discredits the messenger, people won't hear the message. And it's the message of God that's so important, the word of God. And yet people say, no, I'm not going to listen to him. He's got the word of God. He's got the message for the people of God. What happened to Moses? Yeah, people got a bit disaffected with Moses. Even his own sister and brother got disaffected with him. In Numbers chapter 12. And in verse 1 of Numbers chapter 12, there's a little reason for the disaffection. You see how a little thing, it all gets stirred up. And in verse 2 it says, they said, this is Miriam and Aaron, and they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And there God dealt with them. And he dealt severely with Aaron and Miriam because they dared to speak against the one whom God had appointed as leader of his people, through whom God spoke. In rejecting Moses, they were rejecting God. In rejecting Moses, they were rejecting the message that God had sent. And who were people listening to? In Nehemiah's time, Gashmu has said it. Who's Gashmu or Geshem? It says that he is the Arabian. And who is the Arabian? Well, the Arabian is somebody of mixed breed, you see. Somebody of mixed breed. And the word actually comes from roots which means sterile, mongrel, mixed. This is who it is that's spreading this untruth and these rumours. And yet the people, if they had ears for that, would have been listening to that which was impure, that which was designed to be sterile and not lead to life. Nehemiah had no truck with the enemy words. He just gave a stern and a clear rebuke, and he just stated the truth. He said, there are no such things done, as you say, but you feign them out of your own heart. They were designed to make us afraid. They made us afraid. Their hands should be weakened. And he turned to God. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Do the opposite from what the enemy wants. And God will strengthen our hands unto the work as we turn to him again and again. Very easy to get on the grounds of self-defense in situations like this, but you don't find it with Nehemiah. He just says quite clearly, there are no such things done as you say. He didn't launch into great episodes of self-defense and I've done this and I've done the other and how ungrateful you lot are and all the rest of it. He just said, it's not true. It's not true. Lord, strengthen our hands so we can get on with the work. Let's forget about them. Let's get on with the work. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5? We looked at it on Tuesday night. In verse 10 and 11, he said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. When they do that, what does it say? Launch into a great big program of self-defense? No, it says rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The object of the enemy? To instill fear. But it says in the word of God that perfect love casts out fear. And if we know that love of God in our hearts, we will know the casting out of all fear. Now finally, there is the third thing. And the third thing was something which was inside the camp, amongst the people of God. A man called Shemaiah, a prophet, for he prophesies. Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabeel. It says he was shut up. Now, Shemaiah means Jehovah or the Lord has heard. And Deliah means Jehovah has delivered or lifted up. And Mehetabeel means bettered by God or made well by God. So his genealogy, his line of descent seems to be spot on, doesn't it? Seems to be good. A prophet amongst the Lord's people, in the city, within the wall of separation. And yet Nehemiah perceives that he's not speaking by God, but he's been hired by the enemy. This is a very needed word of warning in these days. A very needed word of warning that the enemy can come as an angel of light, seemingly so good, seemingly so impeccable. And yet, when the words are viewed in the Spirit, with the guidance of the Lord, you will see that the words do not produce the fruit, do not bear witness to the fact that it's from God. seems to be all right, seems to be a prophet, but you see, the devil came to Jesus and he said, "It is written." We saw that before, didn't we? He said, "Why don't you throw yourself down from the temple? Because it is written. It seems to be so right. When you analyse it, it's wrong. Because it leads away from God." And the prophet, it said in Deuteronomy, that leads you away from God, you're not to listen to him. You're not to listen to him. This man was shut up. That means in the sense of withdrawn from others. He was a man who was living at this time an exclusive and a separate life. But it wasn't the separation in terms of the separation that we've been thinking about. Separation from all that is of the enemy. Separation from all that's of the world. It was an exclusivism. He was withdrawn. Even amongst the people of God, he was drawn, withdrawn. He was living a Pharisaical type of life. Outwardly seeming so right. And yet what came out of that man's life was poison. Just like the Pharisees. Jesus said, "You're whited sepulchres. Outside you're okay. But inside you're full of dead bones. Putrefying. Corrupt. Destruction." And there are many in these days that would seem to be like that. Outwardly seem okay. But inwardly corrupt. Seeking to lead the people of God astray. Traitors within the camp. Traitors. Doing the enemy's work. Hired by him. He was withdrawn. He was shut up. He wasn't involved in the work. If he was shut up, he wasn't working on the wall with everybody else. He wasn't engaged in the work of God. Just shut up. What does he say? He says, let's meet in the house of God and within the temple, and let's shut the doors of the temple, for they'll come to slay you. Yet in the night they'll come to slay you. Instilling fear again, you see. The best place for you, Nehemiah, you come with me. We'd better both go together because, you know, I'm as likely to get done in as you are. Now let's go to the temple. Let's shut ourselves inside there, inside the holy place. We'll be safe there. Shut ourselves up in our own little religious world. But what about the work of God? What about the building up of the walls of separation? No, you see, it was self-motivation. Act for your own good. Protect yourself. But Nehemiah would not do so. Why? Because he was a leader of God's people. And if he went there, the others would down tools and follow. Or they would down tools and give up. Huh. Tells us what to do, but look what he's doing. That's what they were trying to do. Stir up a bad report for the man so that the people wouldn't follow him. Wouldn't do what the Lord had said. He wouldn't go in the temple anyway because he wasn't a priest. He wasn't a priest. And yet here is a man telling him to go in the temple and shut himself in there. Where only the priests are to go. Seemed all right. But Nehemiah perceived the words of the enemy. And he says, "I know where these words have come from. I know what's going to happen here. You're trying to get the work to stop. You've been hired by the enemy." And there are many that are hired by the enemy. It says so in the word of God. We'll turn to it in a minute. It says so in the word of God in these last days. There are many. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look to him. Let us know his word, that we shall not in any way be deceived. Not in any way be deceived. Hide his word in our hearts, that we may not sin against him. But Shemaiah wasn't the only one. It mentions a prophetess, Noadiah. And it mentions other prophets too, not by name. But in verse 14 it says, "Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear." There were actually people in Jerusalem, in those walls of separation, that were saying that they were speaking forth the word of God, proclaiming his word, prophesying, and yet they were of the enemy. They were not of the people of God. Not just one, but lots. And it says that many of the nobles, in verse 17, it says, "In those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah." And it says, verse 18, "Many in Judah were sworn unto him." Tobiah was one of the enemy. And it says they were sworn unto him. Who is this Tobiah? In chapter 2 it tells us that he is Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite. One of the enemies of God's people. And yet this Tobiah, apparently, according to verse 18, had, through marriage, got relations with Jewish people in the city of Jerusalem. There had been compromise. And as a result of compromise, the people of God were divided in their affections between the people of God and the enemy. And there were many that were sworn unto the enemy, unto Tobiah, that spoke well of him. And some could see nothing but good in Tobiah. This man outside the camp, this man who was an enemy of God's people, they could see nothing but good. And they brought good report about him to Nehemiah. And they told Tobiah all the precious words that Nehemiah was saying to the enemy. But his letters instilled fear. You see, he kept on sending these letters, instilling fear. Let us be a discerning and a perceiving people in these days. There were obviously people, even in the time of Nehemiah, under Nehemiah's leadership, who were not discerning and perceiving people. And they were praising men who were actually working for the enemy. What did they see? Oh, they saw what we call in these days, using a Greek word which we are familiar with, they say, he's got charisma. He's got personality. And they're taken in by the man's personality. There are people who fill pulpits who have got personality. But sadly, they haven't got character. Not the character that the Lord wants to see. Seen it again and again. The personality is there. The people follow the personality. And they'll follow the personality from one church to another church, wherever he goes. Instead of being part of the local church that they are always part of, they'll follow him from here to there to everywhere. And then occasionally we have seen those famous personalities manifest something of the horribleness of the character inside. And then those people, their lives are shipwrecked. What have they been following? You see, they've seen personality, they've seen character, they've seen outward deeds. They've seen that there's something of some outward relationship. But it was a compromised relationship. And they've been led astray. Nehemiah prays again to God. And he prays about the conspirators. He prays about them. Yes, even when he is under attack, he prays for those that are attacking him and about them. Here was a temptation to keep inside the city, to lock yourself in the temple, to cut yourself off from the world. Don't carry on with this business of building up the wall. Don't evangelize as the enemy. Don't go out telling other people about the Lord. As long as you have your little meetings together and you have fellowship and you praise the Lord, that's okay. But don't go out. Don't try to affect the world. That's pointless. They'll only attack you. They'll only mock you. They'll only do this. They'll only do the other. Don't bother about that. You just have your little praise times. And how the enemy would try to make us stop work for the Lord. Or let's not listen to his word, but let us look to the Lord. Nehemiah says, I perceive that God had not sent him. And the wall was finished. See? Praise God. We read through all those attacks of the enemy and the wall was finished and completed. 52 days. It was done quickly because God had done it. And even the enemy were downcast in their own eyes. They were put to shame because they realized that those men there couldn't possibly have done it in that time by themselves. They perceived that God had wrought this marvelous work. No wonder the heathen could say about the people of God, their God has done great things for them. Whereof they are glad. And you see, there was a great testimony to the work of God because they maintained, they stayed at the work, and they looked to God, and they resisted every attack of the enemy because they were on the victory side in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let us beware in these days in which we live that we are not taken in by the attacks of the enemy. He will seek to attack in your hearts and in your minds, brothers and sisters in the church. He will seek to sort of suggest ideas, maybe through other people sometimes. Well, who does he think he is? Who does she think she is? They're nobody. Why are you listening to what they've got to say? And that's how the enemy attacks. And that's how the enemy seeks to stir things up. Seeking to get men to fulfill ministries that they haven't been called to. Nehemiah, go into the temple. No, he says, not my calling to go in the temple. Why should such a man as I flee anyway? They'll all follow me. Such as I'm a leader. Let's look at those characters very quickly again. There was Sanballat. Seductive Sanballat. What does it say in the word of God? It says, in the last days there shall be many who will give heed to seducing spirits. But if we look to the Lord, we shall not be deceived. Praise the name of the Lord. There was Gossipy Gashmu, who spread the rumours, the destructive rumours about Nehemiah. And there's much of that today too. The gossipy rumours, seeking to undermine the work of God. But we're looking to the Lord and we want to know what his word is. And there was treacherous Tobiah. the man who sought to get traitors within amongst the people of God. But we're aware of all the wiles of the enemy. And then within, there was shifty Shemaiah, who sought to get Nehemiah to shift his position from working into the temple, into sort of relying on religion. Don't want to waste your time doing that. Do that. And there was Noadiah, a prophetess, who sought to undermine as well the teaching of the word of God. Naughty Noadiah. And there are people like that, you see, in the amongst the people of God today, who would seek to undermine the teaching of God. And what does the word of God say? He says, let us lay aside those things. Every superfluity of naughtiness, it says, put them to one side, that we may indeed magnify the name of the Lord. And although we use the word naughty and we think of children being naughty, it is a word which is associated with the enemy. And he would seek to wreak much naughtiness amongst the people of God. We have a Saviour. We have a mighty victor in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will not be overthrown by him, by the enemy, but we will look to the Lord and we will maintain the building up of his work, that he may be glorified and uplifted, and that many souls may be saved as a result of the testimony of God's people through the work of the Lord. Amen.
Well, that's all for now. Don't forget our Sunday morning time of praise, worship, and hearing the word of God. Meet you then.